we just trust in you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Even sometimes the little things. I started praising in my van because a policeman was behind me and decided to turn the other direction. I was listening to worship on the way over this morning, and I forgot I was in a 35-mile-an-hour zone. I thought I was in at least 40, and when I saw him, I let off and looked down, and I was going 42 in a 35, and I thought, well, I don't know what that's going to do. I saw him pull out then, and he pulled out and got right behind me. I said, Lord Jesus, you know I was just praising you. I'm just minding my own business. There wasn't hardly any traffic in front. And I said, Lord, you know, I'm going to turn the air on up at the church. And I'm just going up there to do the things you called to do. And I didn't quite look at it. Just going with, you know, just flow. And then when the policeman decided he'd turn on that next block and go the other direction, I let out a shout and a hallelujah up in my car. I said, Lord, I'm grateful. I'm thankful. If he had asked me, do you know how fast you're going? Yeah, I couldn't have lied because I looked down. I knew how fast I was going. Praise the Lord. But the Lord had him go the other direction. Sometimes it's just some little things that could have thrown you off of the timing of God. And yeah, you might have been the one that was the very one guilty of making that change. But sometimes the Lord will keep you right on the path that you need to be. Aren't you glad that he is our protector and our guide? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give God praise. Amen. Well, it sure is good to have Brittany home for the summer, all the way from Valor Christian College there in Columbus, Ohio. Hallelujah. The School of the Spirit. Praise the Lord. If you want to know about that experience and you've got some young people that are getting ready close to graduation, you might want to see her and get hooked up all of that direction. Praise the Lord. But can you tell that Eagle Nation has all four of their leaders back upon today? Can you tell it? Woo, glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As we get ready for the message, I'm excited about the new hot single coming out. Hallelujah. Fire and Glory Fall Down. Praise the Lord. And it's going to be absolutely amazing. Praise the Lord. God is doing something unprecedented, I believe, that I have not seen. Now, I've been around for a long time, and I'm going to be turning 60 here in July. And I got saved at age 3, so I was raised in church. In the 70s, we had a great move of God come through. I wasn't around for the 50s move. I ain't quite that old. But my dad was. And we kept seeing wave after wave of God trying to do something absolutely spectacular in our nation. And in the areas that we were in, it seemed like that we would have participation for an event, but we would not have relationships. And oh, how our church longed. We fellowshipped with maybe one other church, and then their deacon board shut that pastor down to where we didn't have fellowship even with them. We had to fellowship outside of our area. And here, in our 25th year, I have seen something that's happening, and it's happening very quickly. The Spirit of the Lord is connecting people that have the same Holy Spirit. We've built relationships and we've built different things, but from time to time, as we reached out, it would just be this little bit. But then the pandemic came, and they tried to shut the churches all the way down and close our mouths and separate us and ostracize us. But look out, the body of Christ is coming back stronger than ever. Hallelujah. We participated when Sean, I call it Sean Feisha. I don't know how it's to say it, but, huh? Does anybody know what is pronounced different? Huh? Foch? What? Amen. So, came in with Let's Worship Together. And it was a conglomerate of wonderful ministries. Tim's pastor, Pastor Paul, was out there helping set up the baptismals and everything. And And we were out on the grounds, and Pastor Denver from over here at Agape, he was out there, and we met a number of other pastors, and Pastor Tim Snyder from Healing River was up there, and we just had a great time. And then from Fayetteville, Arkansas, they'd asked Pastor Lang to come up and be one of the ones that would give in prayer. And Pastor Lang came last year. He and his wife came to Fire and Glory, and they're coming this year, going to be there all weekend with us. Praise the Lord. And we just give God praise, amen? For Fire and Glory, we spent 2 years with folks. Some folks couldn't come because of the pandemic. And then last year, we had some more that could come. But we were inside the house here. But the Lord has opened up the doors for us to be at the Oasis Convention Center this year. And I tell you, I think we're going to rock the place for Jesus. Hallelujah. The last time we were there, we didn't know that we could buy up the ballrooms, and so they put some architects in there for dinner, and we had sound stuff up and curtains up, but we were louder than the architects could figure out. So this year we just decided we would go and negotiate for the whole thing. Everybody say, sometimes you just got to have the whole thing for Jesus. Hallelujah. And the chief negotiator, of course, is Prophetess. She went and negotiated with them. Praise the Lord. She's a better wheeler and dealer than I am. Praise God. And she said, no, this is what we want to do. And the Oasis has been so gracious to work with us and the surrounding hotels. And folks are still calling in. Folks are still trying to get in get their tickets for the VIPs and stuff. Three more came in yesterday. Some more are coming in today. And I believe it's going to be absolutely phenomenal. We've already got 30-plus ministries that are coming to Fire and Glory. And this is a really phenomenal because there's folks that I've heard from that I didn't go around saying, now, Lord, who do I hand to this? Yesterday, folks were coming up to me and say, we hear you've got an event going on and you've got the camp meeting and we want to know about it. And I was passing out flyers. And there's a great stir because this is not an event just for our church. This is a catalyst for fire to burn so bright in the body of Christ that in this area, I believe that the prophetic word of God that he has placed over this area from Corrie Ten Boom, hallelujah, and Pastor Kilpatrick, and many others that have prophesied over the Ozarks, that we right now are stepping on in. We have one foot on this side and one foot in, but right in now, I believe in 2022, we're going to cross on over. Hallelujah. Something's breaking. Something birthed at Birthingville. Something broke over there at Gold Conference in Oklahoma. And I believe something's going to happen. An explosion of the Spirit of God and fire and glory. Hallelujah. That's going to connect us and network us with our great new flame of fire of the Holy Ghost. Somebody give God praise. Hallelujah. Because the body is rising up unstoppable. Unstoppable in their praise. Unstoppable in their love. I'm going to preach on unstoppable at Fire and Glory. Hallelujah. But tonight I'm going to minister on spiritual activation. Many of us have activated and we're doing what God has told us to do. But there is going to come an even greater spiritual activation in our lives. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Does it need me to hit that? There it is. Praise the Lord. Spiritual activation. Activation literally means that something got started and something's in motion. It describes the process of turning on or starting something or energizing somebody. Say, I'm turned on for Jesus. And I'm about to turn off. Hallelujah.
The Lord started something in my life, and I want to see how it finishes. The Lord started something in your life, and I want to see how it finishes. The Lord started something up in the churches. I want to see how it finishes. The Lord started something in the Springfield area. I want to see how it does. Because he promised us the greatest revival that Springfield has ever known. And there would be enough souls to fill all the churches up that believe in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Somebody give God praise. Now, you can't be in action without somebody noticing it. How many knows that if you're just in one position and you don't move, some people will go on by you because they haven't seen any action? It's kind of like on YouTube, you'll see some of these people that are dressed in the gray. They look like statues, and they know how to act like a statue, and they're standing. And people just come by, and they think they're an actual statue because of other statues that have been around. And all of a sudden, they realize there's a different manifestation because the statue moves. And it comes alive, and some of them, it stuns them so bad because their perception now is instantly shock changed by the activation of somebody just making a movement. Turn to somebody and say, when God's people move like the Lord wants them to move, don't be surprised if other people are shocked when they see the moving of the body of Christ. Hallelujah. There are a crowd that's hoping that the body will never awaken and move, but too late. There's a part of people that wanted to suppress God's people and turn on Christianity, but too late. The devil is in trouble because God's people have moved on their knees in prayer. They've moved to go closer to God. And now the body of Christ is recognizing that they can be activated together and see the power of God move. So glad for the message this morning from Pastor David on the power of Jesus. The power of Jesus. When you spiritually activate, you also cause something to happen. You cause a revealing and a visual expression of the Spirit. See, you cannot have the expression of the Spirit on the inside and it not work on the outside. If you have something on the inside, it'll show up on the outside. So if somebody's depressed on the inside, pretty soon what happens on the outside? They start looking all depressed. And then somebody says, why are you so down? How do you know I'm down? Because you look like whatever that's coming out. Because out of the abundance of the heart, even our body motions speak. Not only our mouth, but our body motions. So it causes a revelation and a visible expression of the Spirit. And we want that to be of the Holy Spirit. An active demonstration of purpose and power. Somebody say, when I get activated by the Spirit of God, I will demonstrate a manifestation of the Spirit of God. Give God praise. Hallelujah. In 1 Corinthians 12 and 7 says, but to each one is given the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, the evidence, the spiritual illumination of the Spirit for the good and for profit. I want to read that again and just highlight a few things. Each one. Now turn to somebody and say, that means you and that means me. Each one, not just the people up on the platform. Each one of God's people have been given the power to manifest something in the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit then illuminates so other people can see the manifestation. Simply this, I'm going to put it this way. Feeding the hungry. You cannot do it without activation and a manifestation. When you feed the hungry, you got to get active to be able to supply to them. And then it causes a manifestation of the love of Jesus to them that other people can see. And they, too, can actually experience because their hunger has been quenched. Anything that God gives to you as a gift, when you activate it, it will produce a manifestation. That manifestation will bring glory to God and make the devil mad. You might as well already be prepared that the enemy is not going to like the manifestation of the Spirit through you. But I'm sick and tired of them telling us that we can't manifest while they're manifesting everything to try to go after the children and try to take their minds and their spirits straight to hell. We're going to manifest the good stuff. Hallelujah. Because the Lord said, I go unto the Father and I send he the Holy Spirit to you. And the same works that I did, you will do, and you will do greater works than these. Somebody say, we're about ready to do even greater works than we've ever done. And it will profit. Now here's where some things have gone awry. That in the King James it says profit with all. That means that everyone gets a benefit. That God gets the glory. That people get a benefit. Paul said this way, that when we do those things and manifest even the giving to the poor, that causes them thanksgiving. They give thanksgiving unto the Lord. Thank you. And those thank you, the more thank yous and thanksgiving that comes and manifests in a reciprocation of touching somebody's life, it builds into glory, and the glory of God is then seen. Here, a spiritual gift is given to each one of us according to our several abilities that Lord has given. But everyone gets some kind of gift. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are not giftless. There is a gift in you. Paul said to Timothy, Timothy, you're acting like you're giftless, so I got a word for you. Stir up that gift that's in you. Stir it up by the Spirit and start using it. See, the enemy wants you to be afraid. The enemy wants you to have so many people confront you or have things happen that you can't use the gift or not even believe that the gift is in you. But I'm here to tell you that every single one of us in the body of Christ have a gift from the Holy Spirit that can manifest. And what happens if more of God's people and more of God's people and more of God's people manifest the gifts? Hallelujah. I'm not talking about prophesying to each other all the time. I'm talking about manifest every gift that you've got, that God can use it out there. God can use it in here. God can use it over there. That no matter where we're at, all of a sudden we team together and we begin to understand each other's gifts and strengths. And there's somebody that has a gift of healing and somebody else that has a gift of faith. And the gift of faith stands up and says, I impart faith to you. Turns it over, and the next one with the gift of healing, the power of healing goes everywhere. They turn it over the next one, and miracles start breaking out. They turn it over the next one, and words of knowledge come forth. They turn it over to the next one, and they discern spirits and cast them out. Hallelujah. I believe that the Lord has linked us together by the Spirit, and now he's going to help us learn each other by the Spirit how to flow together. Spiritual gifting. Now, there's some people, they can be toothless, but they cannot be giftless. Hallelujah. Activation. Turn to somebody and say, I will not activate. My father-in-law, Apostle Fred Pine, said, it's a shame that when people have a movement, all they have to do to change it into something else is stop moving. And if you stop moving with the Spirit, he said, you change a movement into a monument. And monuments are only a relic to be worshipped of the past. But as long as molten metal keeps moving, you cannot change it into a monument. As long as the river is moving, it cannot be bottled up. As long as the wind is moving, it cannot be stopped and said to be calmed except by the Lord. And we that are moving by the Spirit, the Lord said, my people will be that are moved by the Spirit will be like this. The wind of the Spirit will blow, and you won't even tell, can't even tell where it came from, but my people will move with it and move with the movings of the Spirit. They will be in and they will be out, and they'll work together. Gone are the days of competition, because it's not about who can be number one. If Jesus is already number one, you don't need another number one. So in the financial field, Pastor Tim, there can only be one number one, right? As long as Jesus is number one, amen, there can't be any other. So every believer by the Holy Spirit is given a gift of the Spirit. You've been given a grace to function. Turn and look at yourself. Say, I've been given grace to function. The Lord has anointed what he's put inside me to activate and to operate. that gift at the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God, that everyone that is baptized in the Holy Ghost has been empowered to be the witnesses of the Lord. There are several keys to activating and operating. When you're in alignment with the Lord and when you have prayed, see, you can't activate yourself without being connected like this morning. A toaster can't toast nothing if it's not connected. And when you are connected, you have to know the flow of the Lord. Because there at times he tells you, you should not open your mouth. And there's times he says, you should open your mouth. See, what pride does is pride opens its mouth when it shouldn't and closes its mouth when it should keep it open. It always is doing something at the wrong timing because the focus of pride is self. But when you have lost yourself to Christ, when it isn't about you and you don't care whether your name gets glorified or your name gets magnified or your name gets up in lights, I know there's a whole lot of people that say some things, but I'm going to put up something the Lord dealt with me. I have never, ever been able to write on a piece of paper, Don McClintock Ministries. Never. Because it wasn't about me. When we evangelized, even though it said the McClintocks at the bottom, it was Revival Live Ministries. And they knew that we represented that. Well, we represent Jesus Christ. That's why the church out here doesn't say McClintock's Church. Because we represent Jesus Christ. And he names the name that he wants in our function for that. But we are there to produce Jesus. And when you are aligned with Christ and you get the garbly-gook out of your mind, quit messing with the devil. Quit letting him in your mind. There's some people let the enemy in your mind on a weekly basis. When the enemy belongs where? Underneath your feet. He don't belong sitting on your shoulder talking in your ear. He belongs underneath your feet. Hallelujah. You are a child of God. You are an heir and a joint heir with Christ Jesus. You have more power than the devil. You got power in Christ Jesus. And when you activate, that's why the enemy wants you garbly gooped and out of focus. Because he knows if you ever focus your spirit on the things God has told you to do and bring someone else along with you, and we pray together where two or three are agreed touching anything on earth, it shall be done. Father is going to show up with the work from heaven, and the enemy is scared of that. Turn to somebody and say, we've been in keys to activate and operate. First of all, you cannot activate a gift you don't recognize. If you don't recognize it, you can't activate it. If you don't know what door to stick your key in, you'll go to Walmart and stick your key in every vehicle, set off about 300 alarms trying to find out which vehicle it is because you can't recognize your vehicle. I've changed vehicles a couple times. One time I was in my wife's Cadillac, and I've been so used to being in the van that I came back out of Walmart and I forgot which vehicle I had because I got both keys in my pocket. I said, which one did I drive? Which one did I drive? Because I would normally look for the van. Now I had to look for the Cadillac. And it had to change my perception of what I was looking for because I had to remember what I was driving. See, when you know what the Lord has put in you, that you don't have to wonder the next time when he says, I want to use you. How do you want to use me, Lord? What did I put in you? Did you forget already? No, don't forget what the Lord has put in you. Matter of fact, rehearse it to yourself so that your flesh is reminded. If you got to get in front of the mirror and tell your flesh man, eyeball to eyeball, who you are, hallelujah, in Christ Jesus, to remind your mind so that your mind is stayed on Jesus, so that when you go off to work, you know that you are not a man that'll look in the mirror and walk away and forget what type of person you are, because you're not a hearer only, you're a doer of the word. You are an activator of the word. You put it into action. And when you put it into action, things happen. Number one, you recognize it and you discover what it is. And some people say, well, I believe the Lord has given me a gift of prophecy. How do I discover it? Read everything in the Bible on every prophet. and every prophecy. Well, that's like half of the Bible. Good, the Lord chose you to read half of it. Go ahead. Hallelujah. Get reading. So, well, what about healing? Read about healing. What you have discovered, you know you have, will draw you to that. You will subscribe to the thing God put in you. You will subscribe to it. If it is compassion, you'll subscribe to watching how the Lord operated in his compassion. If it is power and authority, you will read the things about power and authority and how the Lord operated in power and authority. And that, I'm not talking about going down to the bookstore and get everybody else's book. Start with his book. Hallelujah. Always start with his book first. And read everything. If you're going to pastor, you're going to have to really read between the lines. Because there's pastors and elders, and then there's them things. But there's more on other stuff. But he said, feed my sheep. Protect the lambs and feed the lambs. Keep the wolves away. If you're scared of wolves and snakes, you're probably not a good pastor material. And you got to know how to beat up on some things to protect the sheep. Not beat up on the sheep to protect your salary. God's people are going to begin to fuse together, and there's going to need to be a healing, because we have had some misunderstandings and misinterpretations of stuff, and we've not dug out why and what, but the Lord has challenged us to forgive and to move on and to say that we can do these things. And I'm telling you, there is a lot of ministries in this area been called here by the Lord. Some been planted and hidden for quite some time. And now out of hiding is coming a great blossoming of God's people. And they're coming together. They're going to hook arms together. They're going to hook mantles together. And the enemy's not going to know what hit him. Hallelujah. I foresee a posse of 10 ministers that city councils hate to see them come through the door, because they're going to line up one after another. City council goes, wait a minute, we only allow 5. All right, good. Then we'll stand up there as twins. But we're still going to say, thus saith the Lord. Or 5 are going to speak, and the other 5 are going to control the very atmosphere of things with their prayers. Because we're going to utilize the things that are necessary and walk in power. When we need to walk in love, we're going to walk in love. When we need to walk in the power of compassion, see, compassion and pity are not the same thing. Pity says, I'm sorry to the place you're in, but there's nothing I can do about it. Compassion says, I'll move heaven and earth to do something about your situation. I'll use every resource and connect with every source I have to make a difference. When you start to develop your gift, it is developed by giving it away. Faith gives it away. First step is, Lord, I thought that if I gave it away, I wouldn't have anything. But the Lord always says, whatever you give away, you multiply. You multiply it back into your life. Ooh, how many have found that to be true? And so then the next step of that development is, now I can give whenever the Lord says to give of the things that I have, and start doing it with confidence. When you first started to give, there might have been a little hesitation. But after you start to use and understand that the Lord is wanting you to give away what he gave you, and he's not going to leave you out, but he's going to use that for his glory, and then he rewards you, that all of a sudden there becomes a more process in you that whatever the Lord says, that's what I'm going to do. And so you stay open. Number 2, stay open to the leadership of the Spirit, not to our own spirit. How many have ever had a frustrated spirit and it wasn't the Lord? Or the Lord hits you with righteous indignation and you're too scared to come against the adversary with righteous indignation. Some people don't understand the difference between frustration and righteous indignation. Frustration is when it's frustrated you, your feelings, the way you feel, who you are, you feel disrespected, you. Righteous indignation means I am coming against that sin that's coming against people, that's hurting lives, that's tearing apart marriages, that's coming to rip apart children, to cause teenage suicides to go up, to cause more children by age 3rd grade. If we don't get this thing stopped by 3rd grade, all of our Burrell is going to be overrun with kids that don't know anything in their mind and are trying to commit suicide. already on an ebb, already starting to come. And we got to put a stop to it. But we got to understand our gifts. Some gifts are the gifts of peace. That means in turmoil, if you got a gift of peace, people could be fighting like cats and dogs, and you walk into the room, peace is going to show up. And they're going to be mellowed out just because you showed up with your gift. Because you know how to diffuse things. Hallelujah. You got to know your gift. Your gift may show up, then there may be a need. You may have a financial gift. And all of a sudden, then a need shows up, and God's given you the resources or an idea of how to make it happen, and you know it's going to happen. There's some people that are blessed in a gifting of business, and other people can't even think of how to start a business. They couldn't even put two pies together and sell one of them. And if they did, they'd have gone down to the store, bought $30 worth of stuff, and sold it for $5 and ended up $25 in the hole. See, a gifting also comes with wisdom. A gifting comes with wisdom. And see, the wisdom comes from the Spirit. Number three, when you listen for His voice, you listen for His voice, not your own, then you can hear, see, say, and do anything that He shows you. And you'll do it with accuracy and humility. Hallelujah. Somebody say, humility is not timidity. Timidity is scared to death to do it. Humility will do it and say, I don't need the credit. I give all the credit to the Lord. I give all the credit to the others that helped me. I don't need the credit. Hallelujah. Humility simply says, I am who the Lord says I am. I am not any more, and I am not any less. If it was not for Jesus, I would be a mess. That's humility. Hallelujah. But I am going to do what He gave me to do. And you're going to do what God gave you to do. And together we make up more things and more giftings because, you see, preachers can't do it. Here's been one of the mistakes, and I think it was spoken yesterday by one of the ministers. He said, the sad thing is that ministry have tried to be the whole body and not let the body be the body. See, if I'm a shoulder along the head, then I may not be all the fingers. And if God's called me to be a shoulder and to link up this joint so that it has full range of motion, if I don't understand who I am, I will get upset and try to move my function down past the elbow. Now I am causing other parts in the body not to be able to function or operate because I'm out of position. And I'm going to teach about this in a moment because Paul has a great understanding of the body of Christ. He is the premier person to understand next to Jesus about the body of Christ. And so when we do it with accuracy, we do it with humility, we know that we are in the right place. I like what Pastor David said this morning. Be a conduit of the flow of the Spirit to someone. Be a conduit of the flow of the Spirit of God, not to you. You get that in your private prayer closet. But to someone else. Be a yielded vessel that will manifest the work of the Spirit and God's power by obedience. Think only the benefits of being a blessing. If your mindset is how can I be a blessing instead of how many blessings I can get, that will be the shift and difference. In the past, we've had too many people that were sitting wanting to get a blessing in the body of Christ. Much of it was the fault of how the gospel was presented so that people were constantly needing to be blessed. So you know what happened during the week? They would go out, become depraved, deprived, sad, needing some of them to get saved over again and come back for another blessing. And then they would get hit with a blessing and they would go out and say, you know what, I got to use up all this blessing instead of give it away so I can come back and get another blessing. And that's not the way the Lord wanted it to operate. He wanted us to be blessed that we could be a blessing so that it's not about us being blessed. There's a shift that's coming to the body of Christ. See, when you already are blessed, you're not trying to say to the Lord, I need another $10 because I spent my last $10,000 on junk. But when I'm being a blessing, there's time when all of a sudden the Lord starts to bring in the supply where you don't even know where it came from, because all you were doing was obeying God. And others started coming. They're being a blessing, being a blessing, being a blessing. And all it begins to be a conduit. And that's what we're seeing. That's what we're seeing for missions. That's what we're seeing in different areas we've seen. And now more of it's going to happen. Turn to somebody and let them know, I'm going to be a larger conduit. I'm going to graduate up to a different pipe size. More is going to flow through me. My capacity is going to stretch. Hallelujah. So it all depends. See, what God can get to you is only what he can get through you. He will not get to you so much that he can't get it through you. He doesn't want you closed down. So he wants you to have to flow through you. Hallelujah. So when he gives you knowledge and wisdom, he wants it to be passed on to someone else. And that's why the knowledge of the kingdom did not stop with the disciples. Because that knowledge, everything that was activated to them, how to heal, how to lay hands on the sick, how to cast out devils that they were taught by Jesus, could not stop because it had to be passed on. And anything that comes from an eternal God has an eternal factor that keeps on moving. Woo, glory to God. Shout, I'm going to be a blessing, a bigger blessing than I am right now. In John 3:21, the Lord says, but he who practices truth, who does what is right, comes out into the light, so his works may be plainly shown to be what they are. A person who's afraid to come forth is probably someone whose life is not being worked by God, and they have too much shame or sin to move into the light. But folks that are working and doing it, they love just go ahead and being in the light of God. Examine me. That's all right, Lord. Because what you gave me, the work was you. I worked with you. You used me as a conduit. And it was divinely prompted. It was done with God's help. And I am totally dependent upon you, Lord. And when you do so, the light will shine and the glory of God will be there. See, not only you have a gift from God to put into action, whether it be serving or ministering or teaching or administrating or giving prophecy or word of knowledge or words of wisdom or releasing great faith or healings and miracles, your gift is to be given. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 15 through 16, it said, instead, we speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ. Isn't that wonderful? To grow more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly, and each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts to grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Now, it said, which every joint supplieth. Now, those joints that we have, how many knows if you get arthritis in your joint, inflammation in your joint, it becomes harder and harder to be able to move and to be activated. If you don't have a proper joint, you end up with bone on bone. And see, bone is supposed to be government. And the government of God is not supposed to be rubbing each other raw. Iron sharpens iron for military purposes. But in your body, bone does not sharpen bone. You do not want bone on bone in your hip, bone on bone in your knees, bone on bone. The Lord did not design it that way. He designed there be some real nice, soft, cushy stuff in between. Peace, compassion, joy, health. And it is that gives us the flexibility. Because if we don't have what the Lord put in between, you can fuse every vertebrae in your back by what they do in medical science, and you will still have pain because the body wants to move. Did you know that the discs in your back have to move to breathe? There are no blood vessels in your discs. They are cushy-cush things here. And so when they move properly, what happens is toxins are pushed out and nutrients are pulled back in. Say, I got to get the junk out. And get the good in. But if I hold the good in too long, it turns to junk. Because it has not activated. It has not moved. And so that movement, improper movement, improper alignment, keeps it in its total healthy function. This is why folks that have compaction, I didn't know I was going to go into some medical stuff. Those that have compaction and have reduction need to get on a stretching machine and be stretched back out so they can breathe again. Because when those things go out, they pull in good stuff. So that's why they know they can put you on those traction machines and stretch you out and pull good nutrients back into those areas. And the very things that other surgeons wanted to remove out of your body that God put in, that if you do the things that God told you to do with the other types of sciences, you can actually restore health by getting certain nutrients in. Just like your muscles. How many have ever got sore muscles? Sore muscles is lactic acid, which is what has been left over after you used them. But you need to get amino acids back in to replace the lactic acid. If you don't get the amino acids in, you'll be sore longer. As soon as you, all of us bodybuilders or wannabe bodybuilders, know that we need to take amino acids before we go in and amino acids right after the workout. It shortens the soreness and causes the muscles to be able to build quicker. So Paul says we need some healthy suppliers that even if you're pressed, that you are supplying to both the bones. And it is from you that they flex. Because if you don't have a good healthy joint, you're going to be stiff-legged. Everything goes stiff without the joints. And he said that each of us has a gifting to supply that activates the body of Christ to be able to move the structure God has placed in it. And that which God gives you and equips also helps with the sinew and the tendons and the muscles to be able to move the body. And he says we have a special work. Turn to somebody and say, you have a special work. I have a special work. And we're all necessary for the whole body to be healthy and growing and full of love. See, your expression and activation to benefit the body is necessary. I said each and every one of us, our expression and activation to benefit the body is necessary. You are unique and supply a vital function to the body of Christ. Your manifestation of your gift that's His, delivered in all love, humility, unity, and honor, is welcomed in the body. So keep bringing glory to God. 1 Corinthians, Paul goes on to talk, said the human body has many parts. Now, I don't claim to know how many parts that we've got in the body, because I guess that it would be determined by how many teeth you got left and how much hair you got left as to how many total parts you got. Hallelujah. So, but the main parts, we have the main parts, unless they take your gallbladder out or something, but we have many parts. So he goes on to say in this illustration, but the many parts make up one whole body, which is Christ Jesus. So there is not a bunch of little Jesuses that the Lord has to put together. He already has one body. Amen? So it is the body of Christ that we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. For if the foot says, I am not a part of this body because I don't look like a hand. How many knows comparing is a problem? So just because somebody else is functioning in an area and God didn't call you to look like that doesn't mean you're not necessary. Otherwise, He'd have made four hands, two hands up here and two hands down there. He knew that you couldn't handstand that long. You can't handstand jog that long. He gave you feet on purpose. So the feet cannot say, I'm worthless because I'm not a hand. No, it doesn't make you any less part of the body, he said. And if an ear says, I'm not part of the body because I'm not an eye. I've got eye envy. Look at me. I'm growing as I'm getting older and my lobe is going down further and further. I got eye envy. And the eye is looking over at the ear and saying, you know what? I can't hardly see you. I need glasses to even see you. What are you eye envying about? I'm ear envy because at least you still hear. And that's the way some in the body of Christ have been. But the Lord is changing that. Because when we know our function, we're not jealous of each other. We don't shame ourselves because we're not like somebody else. We all work together and know that we're all important in every phase of operation because the Lord is a genius and he knew what he was doing when he caused our paths to cross. Oh, yeah, he did. So would that be any less part of the body? He says, no. Because if the whole body were an eyeball, I mean, that's even worse than looking like Michael Sabowski on the Monsters Incorporated. Yeah, you threw it out there and I picked it up. Quit it. Hallelujah. If we were all an eyeball, he said, then nobody could hear anything. If the whole body were an ear, how could you smell anything? The Lord has made it so that we would have all the functions together, right? Our bodies have many parts and God has put each part just where he wants it. The thing is, he wasn't wrong. We just needed to discover and develop. Amen? Neither can the eye say to the hand, I don't need you. I can see just fine. And the hand goes, now how you see? I hate you. Get off me. Neither can the head say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, there are some parts of the body that seem weak and least important. But in actuality, they are the most necessary. Let me teach you that just for a moment, and I'm almost done. Many great ministries from the 1950s and early 60s swept across this entire United States and some around the world. Gordon Lindsay put together what is called the Voice of Healing. And the Voice of Healing newspaper and stuff there, he is the founder of Dallas, what is it down there in Dallas, Texas, the seminary, I just lost it, but where the girls went to, Christ for Nations. And every year he would, besides the promoting revival and promoting these things, he would bring ministries in. Some of the ministries were jealous of each other. Some took the high road and were continued to do what was necessary. Some were built with pride. And if I called names, you would recognize those names, but I don't want to shame them and shame their memory, what they did. There were some that were built so high that the followers forgot to pray. There was no prayer cover because they thought their leaders were invincible because God used them to do so many mighty miracles. When they come through, a tent came through here in Springfield, over there where the Planet Fitness is, over where the rib crib thing moved over to. And over there, they planted that in the 1950s, and the churches fought the minister from coming in, but 216 cases of gurneys and wheelchairs, 196 got upheld. But that same great ministry went outside of his gifting and calling without prayer cover, and a disease came upon him and he died early. Another, they started worshiping as being the great last day prophet, and they began to worship him, and in the freak accident, he was thrown through the front windshield, and the windshield severed into his body, and he died. Others were saying that they needed prayer and prayer cover. But you see, when you're on a place of a great platform and you leave yourself open, the enemy will come after you. You can have great healing and great gifts, but if you don't have prayer cover, some of the greatest revivals were with 70 to 90 prayer warriors in the back that nobody ever saw. And they were back in the back praying and seeking God. Some of them fasting and praying for days and weeks before the meeting. They never even stepped into the meeting. They stayed praying until somebody got them out, or the Holy Spirit said, it's all right to go home. Some of them even slept in the back prayer areas on a cot, and they kept on praying. They said they would only need a report. How many got saved tonight? How many got healed tonight? How many got filled with the Holy Ghost tonight? That's all we needed, because we're going to give God glory back here. They didn't need to be on a camera. They didn't need to be out anywhere else. They were unseen, but they were the most powerful part of the body, because they knew how to bring heaven to earth. It wasn't even the man on the platform. It was the people praying. And the enemy severed and took apart that move one by one, because they could not come together. I did much crying out before the Lord as we were on the evangelistic field. Oh, if the generals of the faith could ever get together. It would always be pleasing to me to see different ones that were high in Christianity actually preach on each other's platforms. And it did great things to me. And I understood there were some that had relationships. And the ones that bonded the most relationships across these have been able to circumvent and go through even great hardships and come out on the other side. But see, even if all the generals of the faith linked together and there were not the rest of the body, it would still all fall apart. It has to be the body of Christ. And when we do so, we cannot look down on somebody and say, I don't believe God is in you. We should honor each and every one and say, you're serving Jesus. I honor the Jesus that's in you and the Jesus you're allowing to flow through you. If that's pass out tracts, I honor that. If that's feed the hungry, I honor that. If that's prayer, I honor that. If it's cleaning the toilets and giving God praise in the toilet areas and the restrooms until somebody comes back there to hide from the anointing and still gets hit by the anointing, it's worth it. If it's somebody that says, I go to work, I'm working two jobs just to be able to give to missions, we need to say thank you. We need to honor those that are doing anything and everything to help it go forward, because I know. My wife and I know what it is to be the doorkeeper, to turn on, to turn off. She was the children's director and the lead musician and the lead singer. And I played drums while she sang, and then she'd run back and do that while I preached. She'd come coming back in from the kids and play the keyboard until we could actually get the altar call and so on, until somebody else could get. We were the only two. We came off the field. We didn't have a whole lot of others that would help us in that area, but God kept raising up folks. Hallelujah. It would look pretty bad for me to preach and do all this stuff, then run back and then come back and do an expressive dance, and then run back and then come back over here and try to play I Fly Away and then run over there. No, we can't do it all. I might forget whether I'm the water boy or the altar worker and pour water on you when I was supposed to be praying for you. Bless him, Jesus. Oh, I'm supposed to be filling up the water. Hallelujah. When everyone is doing their own function, you do not have a meltdown. Turn to everyone and say, I need you. You need me. The Lord knows what he's doing. See, when we encourage each other by a spiritual gift or manifest the work of God to reach others, we're shining that bright light, the love of the Lord, before others, and it benefits everybody. When you're mature, you don't ever ask the Lord, what do I get out of it? That's babies. When you're mature, you say, how much glory can I bring you, Lord? Thank you for this opportunity. Because after all, you're the one who saves. You're the one who heals. You're the one. All we do is do what you tell us to do and say the words you tell us to say and do the things we need to do as the extension of you. And it benefits every single one, because God knows exactly what he's doing. If
if you activate your gift and demonstrate your gift and manifest the work of the Spirit, you'll be able to celebrate Jesus together. And then you can glorify God for all. Would you stand to your feet? As the Lord is moving, I want you to find someone who's not a spotlight of leadership. That means leadership, you can't go to other leaders. I want you to find someone and take the time to pray with them in just a moment and bless them. It cannot be your own spouse and your own family members, because we're supposed to do that on an ongoing basis. I want you to reach outside your comfort zone and allow the Lord to use you. So they're going to sing just a little bit, and then they're going to come down on the platform and they're going to go bless somebody too. Got it, me? Except for Sister Lolita, she might have to have, yeah, she'll point to you. You come on up here, she'll bless you. Praise the Lord. Because you see, when we're used to only trying to bless leadership, we'll overlook someone right next to us that needs the gift we have. And then when we can focus on being a blessing and give that gift away, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a moment to pray with them, bless them. And I don't want it to be one-sided. If two people get together, give a moment for someone else to bless you back. Just because someone goes first doesn't mean that's the only blessing. And tell them how valuable that they are in the body. And watch what God does. Then after the Lord moves, I want us to take just a little bit of time here to go to about seven people. And there's a reason, because at seven people, something is released in the body that is powerful. You can begin to sing.
You can use anything, Lord. You can use me.
Oh,
as you're moving, as you're moving to others you don't know. But those words of appreciation, those words are helping to activate even greater things in other people's lives. Now I want the praise team to go find somebody, put your mics down. Go bless somebody. Folks that are at home, folks that are watching online, maybe you just need to reach out to somebody, text somebody other than your family. Reach beyond and show your care. Maybe some folks that are already online that have been commenting. And would you just comment and encourage one another on the chat? And just pick someone on there and say, you know what, I just want to encourage you. Thank you for being on tonight. Thank you for all that you do. Because we're going to spend heaven together forever, so we might as well connect that way. So just spread some love there on the chat. Praise the Lord as we speak to you. Blessings.
If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me.
Then after you've been to a number of folks, if you are a couple, you can speak God's blessings over one another. Speak God's blessings over one another. Hallelujah. So I'm so thankful that you're my partner.
Our lives have been enriched tonight in this activation service.
How many feel like you got poured into while you were pouring into someone else? one thing I learned, and I learned it basically in our marriage, which coming up, we'll be celebrating in June, 33 years. Hallelujah. On our way to forever together. Hallelujah. I found that if I pour into my wife her love language, and she pours back into me my love language, that we both end up full. And that's the way to live with the longest, is to be able to, because when somebody goes empty, that's when they start to break down. Father, we just ask, Lord, that you would keep marriages full, relationships full of you and full of joy and full of everything that we need. Lord, families full of that love and that connection, connecting power. Churches full of you and your power and your love and your anointing, full of you. That none of us grow dry, that none of us crack a leak and leak out, but that all of us stay vibrant and healthy spiritually, emotionally, physically, and financially. That we are able to give back to others who have given to us, and in doing so, multiply the things of God in each other. We give you praise for it. Would you give God a hand of praise? Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. For those that don't know, and I know that Miss Selena will tell you, but next week, next Sunday morning, we're doing the double again, exactly the same as this. So Pastor David is going to be preaching on Sunday morning. And I know it's going to be powerful, and I am proud of our associate pastor, our son in the Lord, birthed physically and spiritually. So he gets it double. And also that next Sunday night, I'm going to be anointing a special anointing service and anointing everyone that comes on Sunday night. Now, we're not going to drench you with oil unless the Lord says so, but we are going to anoint you afresh. I may have multiple ministries anoint you. When there is more impartation, you get more empowerment to function and operate. And you get usually about 2 weeks to really activate that extra anointing. If you don't, it starts to dissipate. And that's what I've learned over the years. And I've seen it in my life and seen it in others. And so you have to activate it right away. Well, that will take us easily through fire and glory. So we're going to go through heavily anointed, hallelujah, to get, complete everything God has for us and be the biggest blessing we can be to as many people as possible. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Miss Selena, now you may be seated just for a moment. Miss Selena, come.